Gloria, I'd like to begin by asking you about your grandparents. Would you tell me something about your mother's parents? Where were they from?
Mexico. But my grandfather on my mother's side was French. Mm-hmm. Frenchmen went to Mexico. And he married my grandmother at a very young... My grandmother was only a child. She was only 13.
And she was a Mexican girl?
Yes. Very, very sheltered young girl, from what I hear. Her father, it was a different world, a different era. It's, they say they had cattle, you know, and she was in a ranch. And her mother had died, and she was very lonely. And my aunt was going to convents. That was where her schooling took place, was in convents. And evidently, the way they put it was my grandfather wanted, at least that's what they told my grandmother, was to get in on the cattle, you know. Oh, it's a shame, but she fell in love with him, and she married him. And her father disowned her because he told her, he says, he doesn't want you, you're just a child, he wants what you have, and he will not get it. So you're no daughter of mine. And she never saw her father again. She went to live with his parents. And
Her husband's parents.
Her husband's parents. And she loved him very much. He must have been very handsome and very wonderful, because she never said a word against him. She loved him very much. And but she suffered terribly, I guess, because she couldn't see her father. That was the end of her family. She was so young. And so she had my mother when she was only 16. And they had moved to a town in Mexico called Guadalajara. You've heard of that? And my grandfather died there. And there my grandmother is with my mother, who is 9 years old, living with her in-laws and no husband.
What did your grandfather do?
He worked for the government. That's all I know. And he was very vain. Women didn't work then. But as a widow and a child to feed, her mother-in-law told her she had to go to work. So the only thing that my grandmother could do was sew. She was a seamstress almost. She sewed beautifully. So she went to work for a seamstress in Guadalajara. And everything there in Mexico is made to order, and still is, I think. It was then, too. And so my mother was not very happy. This is rather long. This is going to take... It's a different type of background than most of the women we meet. And my mother was not very happy because she was left... alone with her other grandparents, and they didn't really like my grandmother too much, and my mother sensed it. So she went to school, and then after school she would go and stay with my grandmother, and then the two of them decided to write to my mother's godmother, who was in another city. It's in central Mexico, and it's called Chihuahua. You've heard of that. And so, through letters, they arranged to run away and have a home in Chihuahua. Just the two of them.
Why was it necessary, you used the term run away?
Because that was the way they put it to me. My grandmother was afraid that she would lose my mother if she said anything to them. They would probably, see, she had already, women were told what to do, and she was very, very easily dominated. Married so young, you know, just a child, you know. And she didn't want to lose her daughter. So, she just didn't tell them that she was going to do this. And I think probably she had tried to contact her father, but I don't think he was, I don't know what happened. I really don't know what happened. Maybe he had died or she had been written out of the will. And the other, the nephews and the men took a takeover in Mexico. And so my mother told me that they didn't tell the in-laws anything. They just packed their belongings and took whatever they could, got on a stagecoach, mind you, then, and ran away to Chihuahua.
How old was your mother then?
Very young. Only, well, I would say 11. So she couldn't have stayed very long in Guadalajara. In a couple of years. I think it was pretty miserable. And so they stayed in Chihuahua there with the family. But no one takes care of anybody. It isn't done in Mexico. Or here, people have to work for what they eat and use. And so then they spoke to Mother Superior. And since my grandmother had been raised more or less in convents, she felt at home in a convent, you know? So my grandmother then went to work in the convent.
In Chihuahua.
In Chihuahua. And my mother went with her, and they lived there. And my mother went to school, and my grandmother worked with the nuns, for the nuns, and for the girls who were interned there, you know, like a private school.
Doing what kind of work?
Anything that she was called upon to do. She would cook, she would sew, she would, really that was it. Sewing, cooking, don't you, you know. And she had a very good attitude. Happy, she was very happy there because she felt close to God. And she felt that she was being taken care of by God. And so my mother was raised in that environment. That they were being protected, and I guess over there they only go to school just so long, and then they're pushed out or they graduate. My mother says that she came, that she was a secretary, that she took shorthand, and that that she could type, well, not type, but I don't know what in the world. I don't know what she did, but she went to work for a lawyer.
After she finished school.
And my grandmother was very proud of her. And then she became the sole support of her mother, my grandmother. And while she was working for the lawyer, she was shopping. She used to shop at my father's store. And my father's name is Anchando, the family name. He had four brothers. And they were sort of a prosperous family. Anybody who had a business, that has a business in Mexico, is prosperous, I guess. They feel they are anyway. And so my grandmother, of course, was looking for a husband for my mother. And my father fell in love with my mother. And but my mother didn't especially want to get married. But then, of course, with the pressure that she got from my grandmother, you know, and then my father, too, and the fact that they had these stores, they had four stores, and I think that attracted her. And they felt that she could be, that she could work in the stores, you know. Because my mother was a very vivacious woman. And she liked the idea of being part owner of course. And so she married my father. And And so everything was fine up until right about then, I guess, the revolution, the big revolution, or it was already in progress, but it hadn't quite touched them. But of course, once you married my father, then I think it probably, they were embroiled in it, but she didn't realize just how much. And Pancho Villa was, I didn't know he was respected, but he was. By a lot of people, but not by my family, my father. They called him Cook, and a bandit, because he robbed from the rich. They were not rich. They just had four stores. And, you know, in Chihuahua, they had great big silver mines. There's a lot of silver in there. And they sold to the miners all the supplies that they needed, and they would come in and buy and go out to the silver mines. And then they had a store in town, and they catered to the people in the town.
Were these grocery stores or general?
Well, general stores. My mother said that she worked in all four stores, and she said that in the hills, you see, they had one store where they had only the supplies for the mining. You know, so, and she said she used to just pile stuff on them, and then they would disappear, and that's what that life was all about then. And it was different. My mother thought she was she'd married into wealth. You know, she's going to have a beautiful life, and she might have had, except for the revolution that went on and on, you know, I think for 10 years. Anyway, it got worse and worse for them, because my father was the oldest of the Enchandos, and his life was at stake every time Pancho Villa came into town and wanted whatever he wanted, either supplies or silver or whatever. They had to give it to him, or the oldest one would die. And my father was the oldest. And it took me years to figure this all out. I had so many other things to worry about, but this finally I understand. My father lived till he was 95, and so I was finally able to put all the pieces together. Anyway, my mother was getting nervous and lost a child, because my father had to keep running away every time. Either they paid him or he would die, and he was getting very nervous. So my mother told him that she didn't want to stay there any longer, that she, the North. America then did not have the immigration laws that they now have. 1918 was, I think, wasn't that right after World War I? Was calling for people to come from all over the world to work. And my mother heard that call. And my mother was intelligent. My father was intelligent, but too proud. Too proud.
What was his family like? Did you talk about
that? Well, I still know him, and I still know him. My mother divorced him, by the way. you know, in Mexico now, you're thinking Mexico, right? You have only the rich and the poor, right? Middle class is working, I guess. I don't know. I haven't been back. My mother told me, forget Mexico. You never want to live there. Women just don't have a chance in Mexico. A man-oriented society, and America the beautiful. This is where I will stay, where I was fortunate enough to have my children, and she became a citizen, and she gave up the Enchandos, and she gave up Mexico, and she's an American. That's why it saddens me whenever I hear stories about Mexicans. I think the picture has changed, but then that's too bad. It's too bad because Mexico is failing their people too, to the extent where they have to come over here to eat, and it's bad the way they're doing it. But then they came over by train. And they had some money. They were, they had their share of the business. They sold whatever they could. And they went to El Paso. And my grandmother went with them because my mother would not leave her behind. My father's brother followed shortly after that and married an American citizen. And I don't know too much about them at all, but he's still living, and he is 93 or 4, something like that. Anyway, she had a home in El Paso, but she was haughty, and where she loved her husband, again, she was not going to take in his family. And we are proud people. You know, wasn't going to stay there either.
What did your father do in El Paso?
Well, from going from a man who owned a business and who gave orders, he went to a carpenter because he had been doing carpentry work too in his own shops. But there, here in America, he was a peon, and he didn't understand English. But he was a man inside, you know, and oh, that's hard. So, of course, my mother had her first child, and they struggled. And they had a little shack, I suppose, from the way my mother describes it, because she would not live with the father, the brother, you know, and the wife. She describes her as being a haughty person. And they had another child, and my mother was not working. And my poor father had to support her and my grandmother and the two children. And so it couldn't have been easy. I was not born yet. And so my mother, again, heard that in Los Angeles there was more opportunity for workers. And full of hope, they came to Los Angeles. My father went along with my mother.
About what year was that?
Oops. They must have come here in 1924. And my mother was not working. My father must have been a nightmare for all of them. They settled in what is now called Lincoln Heights. And then my mother had me. And I think that was the last straw, because they just couldn't afford me. And so when I was 6 months old, she heard that a company not too far away from her was hiring men and women. And she asked my grandmother to take care of us, that she had to go to work. Remember that she was rather independent. She had not, her father died when she was 9. She was raised by nuns who preached independence and self-reliance and strong and almost like a feminist, doctrine. And so she went to work in a factory, and it was Continental Can Company. They're still in Continental Can. They're very large. They're still in business, worldwide concern. But they were just starting, more or less. They didn't pay anything, and they worked 12 hours a day. They worked their people 12 hours a day, but that was the thing, that was what they were all doing. And now I'm here, and I just barely remember growing up, my mother was working. Always. My father worked off and on, sporadically, just odd jobs. He started that trend then, just here, there, everywhere, wherever he could find carpentry work. And so, but my mother wanted him to work in a factory or get into industry, she would tell him, but he wouldn't do it. She said, if I can do it, I'm a woman, I can't speak English either. You know, I said, you can. But the way she put it to me was that he was just too proud. He didn't want to do the menial jobs that he was expected to do. And he didn't really, he couldn't take authority. So my mother left him.
How old were you?
I was 4. It was really in 1929 that she left him. And that was sad. I didn't know what was happening then. My father kept my sister and my brother. And my mother kept me. He broke us up. That's too bad, isn't it?
Was there a lot of contact between the two families then, after?
Well, when my mother decided to leave my father, it was forever for her. Not for me. I expected us all to get back together again. I was young and I thought, we just moved. And pretty soon we're going to be back together again. And we never did. And my mother remarried. My father remarried. And my brother wanted his mother. And he was the one who established the contact, because he would get on his bike and ride over to see his mother. And I used to get a lump in my throat all the time. So my mother, you see, the depression was really, really at its worst. This was, say, 1932-3. And my mother was working, and she left me with a family who had children of their own. And I don't think I ever, I don't remember eating. they just didn't care anything about me at all. And so I was struggling. I really was. I was going to school. And I'll never forget the name of the school. It was Murchison Street School. And I didn't feel that the teacher liked me because I was struggling so hard with the language. And just trying to learn, and I couldn't. It was very hard for me because I didn't understand the teacher very well. And, of course, what was I going to say? Oh, my brother, I noticed that my brother and my sister spoke very good English, you know. And I used to wonder how come they could speak English. I was falling behind with my... But it turned out later that the woman my father married was raised here, and her English is perfect. And so she was tutoring the kids. And so I was a little envious because they were all together. Anyway,
where was your grandmother that you had to...
You'll never believe this, but everybody had a choice. This is the craziest thing. I had to see a psychotherapist because of all the crazy things that happened to me when I was a child. But we all were given a choice of who to go with. But my mother had told me that when my father asked me, he was a man, who I wanted to live with, I was to say her. And so, of course, I said mother. And so it was just my mother and I, and my grandmother must have felt that that the children needed her. So the two, my brother and sister, chose my father, and she stayed with them. And I don't know, you must have been terrible. But it was done. And I guess my mother had made arrangements with this family that they were going to take care of me. Well, they didn't very well. They were nice enough, but...
Were they also a Spanish speaker?
Yes. I guess it was just an emergency sort of thing, an emergency sort of help. But I do remember that I felt very much like an outcast. Except that I had my family and that we were going to go back to them and that this was just a temporary thing, and that's what kept me going. That was the strength and the warmth that I felt, especially when I saw my brother coming over. You know, so. It was, and then I got sick. Within a year, I was sick with pneumonia. And I was glad because I didn't have to go to school anymore. And I ended up, my mother was working very hard. And she was very sad. But she would not go back to my father. My father, I guess, had already met this lady. My mother had already met another man. I think they were both in the process of remarrying. Anyway, I got sick right about then. And as I say, I was happy because I didn't have to go out. School was miserable for me then. And the lady that I was living with was the one who took me to the hospital on a streetcar, burning with fever. And this was the general hospital down here. Yeah.
And you said you were living with her?
Well, with the family. My mother and I. We had a room. We had a bedroom. But my mother took a bus or a streetcar or whatever at the crack of dawn. And then when she came home, she was so tired that all I ever saw was just a little bit of her, you know, and then she was sound asleep and off to work. And then on the weekends, she used to tell me about what she did. And then, of course, she paid for our board and care, and I think they needed the money. So, but I my health was going downhill. So anyway, I ended up at Children's Hospital, and I was there about 3 weeks with pneumonia. And so my mother would come on Sundays, the only day she could come, and I'd beg her to take me home. Then I wanted out. And I realized while I was in the hospital that I had a problem. Had a lot of time to think. And I knew then, because the volunteers would come around, and they were just wonderful to me. And everything was English, and all the kids in the, you know. First I was, they put me in with another little girl. And then I was in solitary, you know. And then in a ward, English, 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 right? And I knew that from that day, from that time forward, I was going to learn English. And so it became my my vocation, my lifetime vocation to learn English. So when I came home, my mother by then had a boyfriend, and... she married him. But anyway, when I came home, we did not go to that family's house. My mother had gotten a place closer to work. Two rooms. Just two rooms. No, three rooms. Little tiny living room, a kitchen, and a bedroom. And my sister was there. And my grandmother was there. And that was a surprise that they had for me, was the fact that we were together. And boy, sure, I got well very fast. You'd be surprised what that'll do for you. You know, my family's together again.
How long were you in the hospital?
3 weeks. That's a long time. And I didn't understand a word, you know, it was going very much, because the Spanish was very worthy language, you know, that my mother still used primarily, and struggled with the English. But she impressed upon me that I had to learn the language. And as my sister was way ahead of me. And so, and my brother didn't come
to live with us. He stayed with my father. And my father had, I think, just remarried. I never lived with my father again. And
did you have much contact with him, though, or were you growing up?
When we were children, yes. Yes. I tried. But it was my mother's idea to leave him. And inasmuch as I had chosen my mother, I think